Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening to the show. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Colin Cowherd, the lovely and talented and very Canadian.
What?
What? You are very Canadian.
I'm not very Canadian.
Yeah, you're absolutely very. Rachel, let me kind of answer. Rachel Bonetta joins us today. Very Canadian. Here's how I know you're very Canadian. I said, do you like Shawn Mendes? My daughter recommended a new Shawn Mendes song, mm-hmm. and your lead wasn't, you didn't say, yes, I do, no, I didn't. You said, he's Canadian. Right?
Because he is. That doesn't make me super Canadian because I know more about pop music than you, Doug.
You were checking hockey scores on your phone, junior That's hockey scores. It was really uncomfortable that somebody from Medicine Hat suddenly pretends like they don't love all things Canada.
You know what? I'm not going to be offended by this. I am very Canadian, and I take that. I wear it as a badge of honor, friends.
I didn't mean it as a negative. I just meant it as that's who you are. Rachel Bonetta joining us. So do all the cast of characters. By the way, if you're sick of me, don't worry. So is my son sick of me. My son, before he went to sleep last night, he goes, Dad, can we go play basketball in the morning? And I was like, sorry, bud, I got to fill in for Colin. Where's Colin? Where's Colin? Why doesn't he work? Why doesn't he work? Don't worry. Cowherd is back tomorrow. Apparently, he's selling lots of stuff. Back Monday. He's selling lots of stuff if you read the LA Times. Anyway, let's get to, we have news of the day, breaking news. One of the two first-round draft picks of the New England Patriots tore his Achilles tendon, possible placement for Nate Solder. We'll talk about that upcoming in the show. Have some thoughts for you on the statement made by John Elway about Colin Kaepernick and the picture that it paints as to the real reason Kaepernick is not in the league. And I do think that the Patriots looked good last night, and I think there was a point that they were trying to make. I believe they made it. We'll get to that upcoming. But let's start with the New York Jets, who played last night in a preseason game after a week of scrimmages with the Washington Redskins. And Sam Darnold looked okay as a starter. Okay. Okay. You know, he was sacked twice. He threw a pick. He was okay. And yet, considering the duress he was under, considering he's playing against the ones from the Washington Redskins, considering how quickly he got and disseminated the information coming from the sideline, got in and out of the huddle. If you actually watched, Sam Darnold looked like he's going to be able to get it done. He looked like he's going to be able to make it. But he was also under pressure. They didn't have their starting right guard. They didn't have their starting left tackle. I want you to, don't do this if you're driving, but if you're sitting at home watching us on FS1, close your eyes and try and picture who the skill position players are for the New York Jets. You might be able to name Robbie Anderson only because Robbie Anderson said some awful things to a police officer when he was arrested once. Jermaine Kearse, you're like, ooh, I kind of remember. Didn't he play for the Seahawks once? Terrell Pryor used to be a quarterback and used to be a Redskin as well as a Brown. Outside of that, the tight end group is about as bad and as no-name as you have in the National Football League. Matter of fact, if I told you Tomlinson, you'd be like, didn't LT retire after he was a Jet, after he was a Charger? Yes, that's not the Tomlinson. Isaiah Crowell, never lived up to his hype coming out of high school. Bilal Powell, yes, and Thomas Rawls, okay. That is as no-name a group as possible. If Bilal Powell or Eric Tomlinson was sitting right there on that couch and they told me who they were, I would still say, congratulations, what do you do for a living? When I tell you that you shouldn't start Sam Darnold if you're the New York Jets, it has nothing to do with Sam Darnold. He is kind of an old soul, right? He just turned 21. He only started a year and three quarters at SC, but he does feel like he has a balance about him. I've sat in this very same chair and told you that there's a difference between San Clemente, where he grew up, and Manhattan Beach, where Josh Rosen grew up. And if you look at their two personalities, the blue-collar kind of nature, things just kind of roll off your back. It fits better to be a leader of a franchise, what Sam Darnold has to offer, as opposed to what Josh Rosen has to offer. And I think where they were brought up, how they were brought up, is a big reason why. And their personalities in general. Sometimes it's not where you, sometimes just, it's not nurture. It is, in fact, nature. Like, I like Sam Darnold. But, man, you got a chance to screw this thing up. Whether you want to reference David Carr in 2002 that seemed to take a million sacks and never recovered, or even if you look at the Cleveland Browns. Did the Cleveland Browns screw up a couple years ago by not selecting Carson Wentz? The answer would be probably yeah, right? Like, the Browns had to reach for a need and went and got Baker Mayfield. And if they had Carson Wentz, maybe the entire trajectory of their franchise would be different. Or maybe it wouldn't. I mentioned to you Terrell Pryor, right? Here's how much you can screw up a quarterback if you start him too early behind an awful offensive line. Would Carson Wentz be Carson Wentz if he started for the Browns? Remember, that Browns team, going back just two seasons ago, started Robert Griffin, Kevin Hogan, Cody Kessler. Of course, Kaiser was last year. Terrell Pryor even threw passes for them that season. So did Charlie Whitehurst. I mean, look at what they have there. Look at what they did. This was two seasons ago. All the guys that threw passes, threw at least five pass attempts, and I know Terrell Pryor had begun, he was transitioning to being a wide receiver after being a quarterback with the Oakland Raiders. The point is that even though Robert Griffin's fighting for a spot in the NFL, Kevin Hogan, Cody Kessler, Deshaun, like, these guys are lifer backups. Had you put Carson Wentz in that very same position, I'm not sure even Carson Wentz could have succeeded or survived. Like, you're better off letting Sam Darnold sit. I'm not saying you redshirt him the entire season, but do you want to throw him to the wolves right away when everybody else is at full strength? Regardless of what you think of the talent of the teams like the Browns and the Lions that they're going to face the first couple weeks of the season when they play three games in 10 days, that will be the best of those teams because they'll be at as full of strength as possible. Look, offensive lines take the longest to come together. Teams don't hit as much. The offensive lines can't work together as much. And this is a bad offensive line that's been made worse by injury, and we don't know how healthy they'll be week one of the season. And my fear is that we never find out how good Sam Darnold could be because you put him behind a group and throwing to a group or handing off to a group that isn't up to his level. And so he's left to his own devices to do it on his own, to try and make plays. And that's when you get hurt, you have turnovers. And when you have these two things, a reputation is established. And that's really, really hard to climb out of. It just is. It just is. If you don't think a reputation is hard to climb out of, look at Ben Affleck and Geely, right? Ben Affleck, Goodwill Hunting. Like, you go back through Ben Affleck's early career, and you're like, man, there's some pretty good movies. It was like 7 years after Geely before he ever got a shot at a real legit movie again. I will grant you that Daredevil and Geely also were about the same time. Daredevil, it was equally putrid.
He just shouldn't play superheroes anymore.
No.
Can we stop that?
No. He's better off as like the Gone Girl character.
I love Gone Girl. Batman, I love Batman.
Yeah,
not
you're the only, by the way, every
Batman.
Guy in the world is scared to death of a Gone Girl type of situation, right?
Sure.
Yes.
I would assume.
Yes.
I would hope.
Yes. So it's one of those, you love Gone Girl, probably because you read the book. The book's better.
Uh-huh.
But also because you're not the psycho girl, you're not the psycho that his wife
Oh, you're
the
saying
psycho.
Men are afraid of psycho women.
Yes.
We're all a little psycho, Doug.
There's sarcasm there, but what do we know about sarcasm? Always a tinge of truth to sarcasm.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Anyways,
what was the Glenn Close movie from the Fatal Attraction? Right, like Fatal Attraction was the '80s all guys are scared of Fatal Attraction, mm-hmm. to Gone Girl is guys became very scared of that type of woman as well.
As you should be.
As you should be. Very Canadian of her. Like the humor. Just understand it's the humor. Might not translate. In Canada, it kills. It absolutely kills. That's Rachel Bonetta. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd. My point is merely that, look, we sometimes look at a singular asset and we think that asset will succeed no matter what he or she is surrounded by. But that's just not true. And you can do harm that is not fixable, either to your confidence. Like that's what happened to David Carr. Your confidence is shot. That's what happened to Shane Falco in Replacements. Remember, why did Shane Falco fall out of favor in the NFL? It's a great college quarterback. By the way, Keanu Reeves played Johnny Utah and Shane Falco. He had an amazing, he won two Heisman trophies, two different schools. He had an amazing college career as a quarterback. But look, Shane Falco was footsteps. And if you watched last night, you started to see Sam Darnold get rid of the ball quicker. Why is Sam Darnold, the average pass attempt, only 5 yards? Why? He's getting rid of that thing. He knows they're coming, and they're coming hot. So in the order of reasons to start Sam Darnold, it's because he's your future. He seems to be ready. He seems to be getting better. In the reasons, the pros versus cons, the reasons you wouldn't, he's still your future, whether you start him or not. That ain't going to change. By the way, once you start him, you can't pull him, so you're better off taking a breath and starting him later. Oh, yeah, Teddy Bridgewater, who looks, again, like a viable backup quasi-starter. If you play him, increase his value, you can get an asset in return by trading him when somebody needs a quarterback right away. That can help Sam Darnold when he eventually gets on the football field. And wait until he's surrounded by the right cast. Wait until the right script comes. Wait until you get the right opportunity for a show if you're in my business. Don't just take a job to take a job. Don't just put them in to put them in. What's the point? Jets aren't going to the playoffs. Sam Darnold's still their future. He may be ready, but just because he's ready doesn't mean everybody else around him is ready to protect him. I submit to you, if Carson Wentz had been drafted by the Cleveland Browns, he wouldn't be the Carson Wentz we saw last year, or we expect him to be coming back off an ACL injury this year. Because you can do harm that cannot be fixed, irreparable harm. To a guy's confidence, to a guy's body, to a way a guy plays, and how quickly he gets rid of a football if you don't protect him and surround him with the right caliber of talent. And the Jets just don't have it. That's bottom five talent in the league, and I'm probably being nice. I'm not really good at being nice, in case you didn't know, Rachel. I think you've come around to that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There is some bad news to the New England Patriots, who thumped the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles last night. Final scores don't really matter. They just don't in preseason football. But it's the feeling you get. And the feeling you got week two, at halftime, it was 27-7. The Pats were up on the Eagles. They end up winning 37-20. And while you say, dude, DG, it's the preseason. Why does it matter? In and of itself, it doesn't matter. Like, all we worry about, did you come out with injuries? Isaiah Wynn, who's one of the two first-round draft picks, the New England Patriots, out for the year, torn Achilles tendon. It should be pointed out that the people who say, well, he was going to replace Nate Solder, he was working as a backup. And it's important. They did not lose a starting left tackle or starting guard. They lost a backup. Eventually, he'll probably be a starter. And it'll give the Patriots a chance to redshirt him, kind of like the Chargers redshirted Forrest Lamp last year. It's not good news, but it's not a death knell to an offensive line that continues to evolve. What I saw last night, what my eyes told me was the Pats were making a statement. They were putting a finger in the air. It was the middle finger. I couldn't tell whether it was directed at the league, at the anti-Patriot narrative, or at the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think the answer is probably D, right? Which we're always taught in school. And once you see all of the above, always go with all of the above. I think it was all of the above. Tom Brady played the entire first half last night. Seemed weird, didn't it? Like, why is Tom Brady still out there? Because they were trying to prove a point. They were trying to point out, hey, man, Philadelphia, we're still here. It's a little different when you're the champs. To those people who said there's some rift between Belichick and Brady, every marriage has fights. Every marriage has screaming matches at some point. You're together long enough, the other person is going to absolutely wear you out. But you've still been together this long. There still is the love, the appreciation for one another, all the things you've been with, the reasons you got together to begin with. Like, I kind of think that was, there was a, I don't kind of think, I know, that was a statement. Hey, still the Pats. Do we not? Do we have Edelman first 4 weeks season? No, but when we do, he's going to be a beast. He's still got something in the tank. Was our defense great last year? No, but look how we've changed it. Now Brian Flores is our defensive coordinator, and though there's not a lot of game playing and scheming, those dudes got after it. That defense played fast last night, especially on the edge. Don't believe me? Nick Foles hurts his shoulder. We'll update you when we find out how bad that shoulder. Strip sack, fumble. The defense was making plays. The offense had a had multiple threats at running back. Tom Brady did what Tom Brady does, spread you out, find the mismatch, find his guys. Brady playing the entire first half, the Patriots seemingly running it up a little bit against the Eagles, was a statement. It wasn't the index finger, it was the middle finger. You think we're done? You think we're old? You think we're dysfunctional? You think we care about Malcolm Butler, who doesn't play here anymore? Okay. You come into New England, you come out with the L. That's the way it works. This isn't reading the tea leaves. This is body language, style of play, and why the hell is Tom Brady still out there? There's a reason. Statement made. I got it. And oh yeah, by the way, to the Philadelphia Eagles, this isn't the only time you're going to get the best of somebody else. You want to have, somebody wants to buy a billboard on the way for us to the stadium. You want to talk trash to us at the victory parade. Hey, dude, we've been through five victory parades. We've lost Super Bowls before. We still come back and won double-digit games. We went 10 years without winning a Super Bowl. Doesn't matter. We're still going to win 10 games, going to get to the playoffs. We're going to be there. We don't know if you'll be there. And every game you play, you're going to get a better effort, a higher level of attention to detail than you've gotten in previous years because nobody's sleeping on the Philadelphia Eagles anymore. Statement made. We understand. Patriots know what they're doing, know what the narrative is, and they just spent a half convincing us that all of that was false.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, the Three and Out podcast, brought to you by Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network. If you like Colin's show, you'll like mine. I talk a ton of football. This week, talk about Sam Darnold. He has it. Talk about Hugh Jackson. He's terrible. Talk about Jalen Ramsey. He sure gives a great quote. You can find me wherever you listen to your podcast. Again, John Middlecoff, former NFL scout. My podcast is called Three and Out on Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network.
Rashad Jennings is going to join us. He's obviously a former running back, Jags, Raiders, but more interestingly, the New York Giants. So let's get him out here and figure out exactly how you sustain yourself in the National Football League. What's up, man?
Beautiful attire.
I know he was on the Herd. He's got an amazing personal story.
Try to keep up with you, man.
Okay, so look, football is a game to which you can't take it easy. You can't, like in basketball in the preseason, you can take plays off defensively. Football, you can't take plays off. How do you balance in, like, hey, I'm trying to, and you were a guy that had to make teams.
Yeah.
With the fear in mind that one hit, one tweak, one wrong move, and it can end your season, which hurts the longevity of your career.
I mean, that's the nature of playing a sport. Football is a compact sport, is a contact sport. It's all kind of things which endures a lot of injuries, adversity to the body, more than a majority of sports. But it's only 16 games played. That's it. That's why it's so intense every single week. Practice, the way you prep, the way you train, the way you eat, the way you sleep. All these things matter so much because you only got 16 times to prove it. That's what makes the game so beautiful, but also that shelf life is very limited. So when you're out on the preseason, you got to give it your all, you know. And people hate the preseason because you see so many catastrophic injuries that happen, and then you're pulling away money from your family, you're pulling away opportunity for your future because of something that doesn't count towards your actual career.
But you do need the reps in order to get ready for a real season, don't you?
I believe you need reps. How many? That's debatable. Preseason, when you got guys that you're not sure playing 100%, some are not. It's a difference between trying to play to prove you're right and then just out there not trying to get hurt. Those are two different ball players out there. And, you know, in preseason, truth be told, you know how it is. Guys just ain't trying to get hurt,
right?
Majority of them.
Basketball, you call it brother-in-law ball, right? Like, you score, I score. Like, in football, it's like, all right, man, just like, let's just take it easy. The problem is that you might have one guy, you know, one of 11 trying to make that roster, and he's not in on the discussion.
He set it off for every, now everybody got to go.
Yes.
Preseason is not like the Pro Bowl. Let's not get that twisted. But, you know, everybody wants to get better. Younger guys especially, or guys who are on the bubble, want to get out on the field. They have to prove themselves to make the team. That's always going to be the nature of it as long as we have four preseason games.
Rashad Jennings joining us. He's got a New York Times bestseller, The If in Life. It's available on Amazon or bookstores nationwide, wherever you want to pick it up. Let me ask you about last night. I felt like the Patriots were trying to make a statement, right? Like Tom Brady plays the entire first half. Felt like there was a different sort of energy for the second preseason game. And just so happened to be against the Eagles, a team that beat them in the Super Bowl. Is that me taking something that I'm just making something up? Or is that kind of an honest feeling for the Pats, considering how much the Eagles talk some trash and how much people nationally have said the Pats are not the same?
Well, I mean, the Pats are the same. You know, they got the same body of makeup for the majority of it that's caused them to be successful throughout this whole entire run. You know, you got competitors over there, especially in the leadership position with Tom Brady. Nothing surprises me when it comes to work ethic over there. You know, that's what they pride themselves on. So I won't look more into Tom Brady playing in the second. He could play the whole game, you know, and then he could come out the next game and not play at all. I don't look too deep into those details at all.
All right. So Jalen Ramsey, who's an elite talent for the Jacksonville Jaguars, said that, you know, but at this point in his career, Eli is only good because of Odell Beckham Jr. How accurate is that statement?
Well, Jalen said a lot. You know, he said a whole lot. You know, I'm not mad at him for saying what he feels. But saying that Eli is only good because of Odell, and he also said that he thinks the connection is good. I think he said Odell is good. The connection between Eli and Odell is good. We both agree. Me and him agree with that. But him not giving credit to Eli is something we disagree on. You got a guy who's won a Super Bowl twice, two MVPs of it. I lock her beside this guy, you know. So sometimes when you lock her beside somebody, you get to know him a little bit too much. And I got to know he is seriously a true leader through and throughout.
I don't dispute that he's a leader, but at 37, it's been a long time since they won a Super Bowl. And like, look, you look back and how many years they've gone without even making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I guess the question is, yes, Eli winning two Super Bowls, in those Super Bowls, he's been great. Eli in his prime is probably better than the level of respect. But at Eli at 37 years old, this year, is Eli only a quality quarterback because of the supporting cast?
No, he's still a quality quarterback. One, a supporting cast, everything matters when it comes down to a quarterback and the whole entire team. You know, when you're bringing in a system that's trying to figure out itself versus bringing in a system that's current, that's consistent year in, year out, you see different quarterback play. I mean, give me some of the top quarterbacks you believe are the top quarterbacks and tell me how long they've been in the same system.
Well, you got Tom Brady, obviously. You have Phillip Rivers started on 201 games.
How long been in the system?
Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers.
These guys have been in the same system year in, year out. And I believe Eli was bringing back a coach who's been comfortable knowing how he produces. I think it will put him in the best position.
Now, your thoughts on, I said guaranteed contracts. Like, look, it sounds like a great plan. It sounds like you should mirror baseball or mirror basketball. But the reality of it is, dudes get hurt. Their careers change at the drop of a hat. As you pointed out, with the exception really of quarterbacks who do seem to last longer, why should players get fully guaranteed contracts?
Why shouldn't they is a better question. I mean, you said because they get hurt. What sport don't people get hurt?
But the sports that other, well, basketball and baseball, they don't get hurt.
They don't.
And it doesn't eliminate, doesn't shorten their career.
Since
and
when?
Nearly the rate, huh?
Since when?
Since
when players since, in the NBA and begin hurt?
But wait,
Derrick
Paul
Rose
George
got paid how much?
Yeah, and Derrick Rose gets $2 million, now makes $2 million. Paul George broke his leg,
but he
came
got
back
guaranteed. And you're talking about the amount. First, you said guaranteed. Derrick
yes.
Rose got guaranteed money.
Sure,
he got hurt.
Yes.
He still got his guaranteed money. Now you want to say he's only getting paid X, Y, and Z? Well, fine then. If a player gets hurt after his guarantee is up, if you only want to pay him X, Y, and Z, then pay him. Guaranteed contracts are fine, and it should be. Listen, you pay a player based upon their production. Right. Matter of fact, actually, you pay a player on what they've done in the past in hopes of what they're going to do in the future. That's really what you're paying a player for. You don't pay what they've already done in the future. It's hopes. You pay them based upon what they've done. So pay them.
Well, you are. They are getting guaranteed contracts. It's just there's not
fully. Not fully.
No. I mean, listen, if you want to list what it's fully guaranteed for, that's fine. Like, you don't have to sign a deal that's $100 million, but only $50 million in guarantee. Just sign the $50 million deal, and don't be disingenuous. Say, well, it's not fully guaranteed. You're fully guaranteed to make $50 million.
Disingenuous. What's disingenuous about stating the fact that it's not fully guaranteed? Disingenuous is the agents and the media putting it out there. X player just got paid $110 million, only guaranteed 40. We're not going to say that, so the agents can then go to the collegiate level and tell these college athletes lies. Look, I just got him $100 and some million.
It's not all
fluff money.
I'm not disputing that. But first of all, rookie contracts, these first round draft picks, are in fact fully guaranteed deals. 4 years, fully guaranteed.
Slotted.
Okay, they're slotted, but they're fully guaranteed. And that was because the veteran players didn't like the Sam Bradfords getting $50 million off the top, right? It's the same pool of money. Right, the split is the same. That's the collective bargaining agreement. The money's not going back into the pockets of the general manager by saving money. They got to split it up kind of evenly through guys. If players are upset with agents for putting it out at $100 million, then get a new agent. And
no,
that's,
it's not to get a new agent. The media is doing that.
The media is doing it.
Yeah, do you see the players putting out? I just got $100 and some. We talk about it guaranteed all the time. We talk about guaranteed all the time. You don't see that. Listen. The media is putting out that type of information.
So it's the media's fault.
I didn't say it was a fault, did I? I said what is being done. All of it encompasses of what's this narrative. My point is going back to the original question, guaranteed contracts. These athletes deserve guaranteed contracts. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, the counter to that would be that if players want guaranteed contracts, then during the collective, fully guaranteed contract, during the collective bargaining agreement, hold out, lock out, show solidarity. It didn't last time. You end up getting more money. You end up getting a good split. Guys are making more money.
I think it's that easy, huh?
Huh? That's any job. Like any job, there's a limit to how much money you can get. Like it sounds really good. Like, yeah, it sounds great.
We didn't talk about limits and amount of money. We are talking about guarantees. Stop changing the narrative. Guaranteed contracts does not equivalent to the amount of money that you are being paid.
The New York Giants, for example, right? Okay. The elite level players, they're not playing on guaranteed contracts this year. For this year, it's the length of the guarantee that's the dispute. It's not the actual, are the contracts guaranteed? Eli Manning's money is guaranteed. Sterling Shepard's on a rookie deal, it's guaranteed. Odell Beckham Jr.'s money is guaranteed. Whatever contract Odell Beckham Jr. signs, there will be a guarantee there. It may not match up to the overall total of the deal, but that's just how the deal is reported. It's disingenuous to say we don't have guaranteed money when you do have guaranteed
money.
Fully
guaranteed.
You're fully guaranteed to that amount of money.
On the whole entire contract. A lot of stuff is incentive based.
Yeah, but it's roster bonuses.
And if you get cut, that's real. You will see there's been times accounted before where players have actually, organizations or the coach, whatever it may be, have decided not to play particular players because they know if they get X amount of
That's absolutely dirty stuff.
So now
that
you
want to
talk about disingenuous. Can we call that out? Or are you going to leave that alone?
No, that's absolutely part of the issue with
of
the bonuses that guys sign. Huh?
You call the players disingenuous.
Yes.
So let's call that disingenuous.
Huh?
Is that fair?
Disingenuous?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Fair.
To hold players out so they can't get a bonus of however many catches, however many yards.
So
absolutely. Rob Gronkowski, for example, last year, he reworked his deal so that it was all incentive-based, and then if he doesn't hit his numbers and he doesn't happen to get the football or he doesn't dress the last game of the regular season, he's not going to hit that. Absolutely. That's absolutely. Neither side is being honest, but the idea that NFL players don't play on guaranteed deals is dishonest. It's fully guaranteed for the length of it. Don't sign for a 6-year deal. Say, hey, like everybody hates the franchise tag. Franchise tag is fully guaranteed for 1 year average of the top 5 salaries. It's the length of the guarantee that's right. Really the issue.
Right. Correct on that. Correct on that part. But it's not that easy. If it was that easy, trust me, what you're saying sounds good on paper, then you should be an agent and get everybody their number guaranteed.
Everybody wants to be a baseball player. Do you know how much Aaron Judge makes this year?
No, how much?
$680,000. It's in his 5th year as being a professional baseball player.
Oh, you just want to pull out the
no,
most.
I just point out that actually the first 4 to 6 years of a baseball player's career, they
talk
don't make
about
anything.
Some
they
other
have,
ones. What's the average amount?
The average salary?
Yeah.
I don't know. They play 162 games. You guys play 16 games.
What does that have to do with answering my question of what's the average amount?
Well, it's the pool of money is greater because the number of games is greater. So the amount of stadium revenue, revenue is greater. It's all a split percentage. They also have a different
TV
number. They
ratings,
also have fewer players
jersey,
on a baseball
so,
team.
Yeah, they do have fewer players. So you're encompassing everything and right. Why they can pay a baseball player guaranteed money, not the amount that's more or less. We're still talking about guaranteed money, not the amount.
Right.
I think we keep flipping back and forth in that conversation.
This is a conversation we'll continue as well. I got to run. Rashard Jennings, you see him on Speak for Yourself upcoming in a little bit here on Fox Sports 1. Good catching up with you as well.
Yes, sir. Likewise.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I've been watching an excessive amount of football. I watched the Packers take on who the hell they play last night? Packers played against the Steelers, right? It was like it seemed like an Arena League game with all the scoring that took place last night. And I got to see Aaron Rodgers for a little bit. He only threw 4 passes. One was a touchdown pass to Jimmy Graham. Here's Aaron Rodgers, his first preseason touchdown pass.
Williams the back, 3rd and 5 for Aaron Rodgers. Passes to the end zone, caught for the touchdown, Graham! And that is where he is so devastating. 8-yard touchdown pass, Rodgers to Jimmy Graham. And that will not be the last time we'll say that this season.
So, look, I'm a big Aaron Rodgers guy. I am. I'm not going to lie to you. I've told people before. I've said it on this show with Colin. He's the best thrower of football I've ever seen. He's got all the things you want. And he doesn't have the rings that Aaron Rodgers has. And I think that at some point you get into your career. You ever seen My Cousin Vinny?
I have not.
Never seen My Cousin Vinny.
No.
Marissa Tomei, a little before you, probably, right?
I know who Marissa Tomei is, but
okay.
I've just never
so
seen
her. Her famous line, there's 2 famous lines in that movie. One is the judge saying, Joe Pesci says the two Utes, because he's from New York. He's the lawyer, the two Utes. And the judge says, what is a Ute? Right? Because it's youths. But yeah. Anyway, the two Utes. And the other famous line is Marissa Tomei, who is the girlfriend, I believe, of Joe Pesci. She goes into this rant about being in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the South, and this trial that they're not going to win, and her biological clock is ticking over here. That's what she says. My biological clock is ticking. Because there comes to a point in everybody's life when, or especially women's life, where you're like, look, I'm ready to be a mom, I'm ready to settle down. Like, my biological clock is ticking. The window is, in fact, closing. Now, the window is more open now than probably used to be.
Can't wait to hear this point.
Okay. So Aaron Rodgers has always acted as though he has like he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. There's like a bag of Doritos on his shoulder. Like, he has a bunch of chips. Like, he's still mad that he had no scholarship offers out of high school. He had 1 scholarship offer out of junior college. And then after tearing it up in college, like, they're like, well, you got to change your throwing motion. If you remember back to draft night, he was the last guy in the green room. Like, he wanted to go number 1 overall. He's from San Francisco, grew up idolizing Joe Montana,
yeah.
And they had the number 1 pick, and they took Alex Smith instead of him. And you could just see him, like, just seething in there. And he's always kind of, and then, you know, Brett Favre wasn't cool to him early on when he was his understudy, because Brett Favre, I'm sure, knew that dude's the future. And Brett Favre, well, I'm going to retire. No, I'm not. I'm retired. Finally turn it over to him, but he still wasn't the guy. Now he's won a Super Bowl. Now he's seen as a superstar, but because of injury, because they haven't had running game. Heck, he was hurt when they should have beaten Seattle. Was that 3 years ago? 3 years ago, they had Seattle dead to rights beaten in Seattle, even though Aaron Rodgers had a pulled calf muscle, and they limited what, and somehow Seattle has this miracle comeback, and he doesn't get a chance to go to the Super Bowl to face off with Tom Brady. That's something we haven't gotten. Like, we never got LeBron versus Kobe, and to this point, we've never gotten Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers in a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes when we interview or we hear Aaron Rodgers being interviewed, or you hear him even talking about his wide receivers going back to last week where he said their effort is piss poor, and he stopped with I'm not here to be anybody's friends. I'm here to win games. Like, man, he's really focused. Some people have hypothesized it's about his contract. No, it's not. He's getting that done. Some people have hypothesized it's about Jordy Nelson getting cut. I think there's maybe a little bit to it. Some people have hypothesized, well, maybe he doesn't get along with the coaching staff, right? He doesn't agree. Or the front office, and the fact that up until Ted Thompson was kicked upstairs, they would never look outside of the organization to bring in help. And you do need a little bit of help. I think when you watch him this preseason, when you watch him all the offseason, and you see how driven, how focused he is, and how a little bit edgy he is, his quarterback clock is ticking. Aaron Rodgers is, what, 34 years old? Now, he's 34. He's had some injuries. He had the collarbone, obviously. He's had the calf. He's had a concussion or two. So I would guess, I don't know if you play spades, but when you go around, you're playing spades and you have a partner, you know? You have to bid. You have to say, like, how many you think you can win? You're like, I got three with a possible four. I think he's like four with a possible. If he plays till he's 38, plays prime Aaron Rodgers till he's 38. And you could say, well, hey, Tom Brady is eating avocado ice cream. He's into his 40s. Yeah, but Tom Brady, he's so slow he'd race a pregnant woman and come in third, right? Runs like he's dragging a dead body. But Tom Brady he's had good pocket mobility, but he's never depended on overall athleticism the way that Aaron Rodgers has. Mm-hmm. Rodgers has a better arm, but also better feet. And if you take away his legs, at some point, that's what goes first. It will change him. So I would say four more really, really good years. And everything has to come together perfectly in order to win a Super Bowl. Or just get to a Super Bowl, as we know from watching his career. I think that one of the reasons that he seems a little bit more edgy and a little bit more focused and having a little bit less fun is not the contract. As you stated in the news, like, he's going to get the biggest contract we've ever seen, and rightfully so. It's that he believes he's the greatest to ever play it. Other people, not just me, but more important people have said he's the best they've ever seen spin it. But the only way to put him in that argument is for him to get another couple rings, right? One more puts him ahead of Brett Favre. One more puts him at the level of Ben Roethlisberger and of Eli Manning, two that I think he thinks he's better than, puts him at the level of Peyton Manning, who is seen as one of the all-time greats. And there was a time to which people thought Peyton was the greatest ever. Two more, now the sudden you're in the GOAT conversation. You probably never get there because Brady has so many and he'll have a chance to win another one, but you might. You might. LeBron's in that conversation and he's never going to have as many as Mike. And Mike is seen as the GOAT and he doesn't have as many as Bill Russell.
Do you have to win a bunch of Super Bowls to be considered the GOAT?
I don't believe so.
I mean, I compare it to, you know, I work a lot in soccer. I was just at a World Cup. Messi. Lionel Messi has never won a World Cup before. He's one of two greatest of all time.
Yes. I think it's different. It's so different in soccer. There's such a randomness to soccer and the number of goals. And he plays for Argentina. Like, it's not like he's playing for Spain mm-hmm. or he's playing for Germany.
But that's what happens, right? Like you just said, everything has to line up right in the next, like, what, 4 years you said that he had.
Yeah.
Sometimes that doesn't happen. That doesn't mean that.
Right, but also World Cup you get, like, once every 4 years. So how many legit shots do you get?
Yeah, but I mean, there's plenty of trophies that he hasn't won besides World Cup.
No, it's completely fair. Look, it doesn't make any sense that we judge you based upon if you win this final game. The perfect example is he goes to a Super Bowl and probably beats the Patriots mm-hmm. if he's healthy 3 years ago if they can simply recover an onside kick to which he wasn't on the field for.
Mm-hmm.
I had Philip Rivers on my radio show last week, and he's like, how crazy is it that Tom Brady leads his team down the field for a touchdown? The Seahawks, 2 weeks later, in that very same year, 3 years ago, they're about to score. They hand the ball off to Marshawn Lynch, they probably score. Or if Malcolm Butler doesn't read the play, they probably score. Malcolm Butler intercepts the ball. Tom Brady not on the field, and now Tom Brady was the greatest ever. Why? Look at all the rings. Like, I didn't say it made sense, but I do think that there's some ego to it. And there's just the idea of, hey, a lot of people have won one champ. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl once.
Right?
Like, we can kind of go through the list. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl once. Trent's a friend of mine, but even Trent wouldn't say, like, I'm not at that level. And I don't think anybody would put him at that level. Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Two, completely different. That's like winning two majors in golf. So I think that the reason that he's more focused, more driven, a little bit more edgy, and this is from a guy who's pretty driven, pretty focused, pretty edgy, although he likes to have, he has liked to have fun. He did do the championship belt, you know, the belt, the discount double check back when, that's started back when he won a Super Bowl. I think that it's not necessarily athlete mortality, but it's his championship clock is ticking, like Marissa Tomei's biological clock. That's how I brought it back around.
Way to go. You finally got there.
Huh?
Yeah. 25 minutes later.
Yeah, well, listen, it was like 7 or 8 minutes later, but it was good. It's good. It's time spent listening.